Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. So many ways to take us in. We just require one of them, whichever way you choose. We appreciate it. Thanks for making us part of your morning. Each and every morning, it's Gil Alexander. It is producer number 9. So much more than a producer, the great Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa, freshly shorn. Did you cut your hair?
I did. I got a haircut yesterday, yes.
Yeah, looking good.
Last time, Brian Ortega was stalking me at the barbershop, so we'll see. We'll see if maybe he got a haircut yesterday, too.
Brian Ortega was?
Yeah, we apparently get our haircut at the same place, but different barbers.
Oh.
And I was like, why don't you use my barber?
Okay. Does the whole shop talk about Ortega? Like, wow, that guy's got a lot of opinions.
No, it's one of those. It's like, well, you went to Truman once. It's like different suites, right?
Yes,
it's like private suites.
Yeah. Sure did. Glad we got that out of the way.
That's
cleared
right.
up. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday. You know what that means. The Crack Man Unscripted. Bill Krakenberger will join us hour number 2 here on the show. This hour, an eclectic bunch of things. Tim Murray will join us, talk college football. He's got some thoughts on Notre Dame and beyond, I'm sure. Notre Dame being his squad. It's Zach and Crack, to be honest with you. So it's Zach Cohen also talking football with us, pro, college, perhaps some NBA as well. Maybe he leads with the NBA. We got our Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week. That's coming up. But I want to do a couple things here also. Coming up, we had mentioned this earlier in the week. Someone had suggested, or I don't know, somehow our conversation veered towards, hey, let's do a ranking of backup quarterbacks. So I
was wondering where you got this from.
Oh, yeah.
I missed that.
Oh, you were here. You were sitting right here.
I know. It was a little rocky earlier in the week. Yeah.
He can take the reservation. He can hold the reservation. You can take the reservation. You just can't hold the reservation. No, we were talking about this. So I ranked the top 15 backup quarterbacks in the NFL. And can I tell you something? I did this lovingly. Like, I went through all the numbers, career, recent. Like, so there's a couple third stringers in the top 15.
Oh, as there should be.
As it turned out, I wasn't like gunning for it or anything. So we'll do that coming up.
I was dying laughing as I got I got a text from you for like 45 minutes before I was going to go to sleep. Probably he's like, you want to rank backup quarterbacks tomorrow? I was like, go for it. I'll comment on your list.
Kelly's one of these people, just to let you all know. Kelly's one of these people who he doesn't really say that he has a cutoff time at night, but he kind of establishes it passively. So if you text Kelly after, I don't know, 7:20 p.m., let's just say, you get no response whatsoever. I'm like, I get it, Kelly.
I got a weird sleep schedule, man, because like there's some NBA nights that keep me up way late, and then I take advantage of nights I can go to bed early. I gotta wake up at 4 a.m.
Anyway, someone's gotta keep the ship afloat, so we're gonna do backup quarterbacks coming up. I also have the Cliff Kingsbury slide, what I'm affectionately calling the Cliff Kingsbury slide, because that came up this week, and I get it. Cliff Kingsbury no longer a head coach. Most of this has to do with his time at Texas Tech and with the Arizona Cardinals as the head man, but the last 2 years as the senior offensive assistant, I believe his title was, don't hold me to that, at USC, and then this year as an offensive coordinator. We'll just go through it because it's one of the elements of tonight's Commanders-Eagles game, which, again, is the Eagles -3.5. This was a game that I guessed at 3 on guessing lines on Monday. I think the half is a mite disrespectful. Totals at 48.5. But you could absolutely make a case for both teams here, and I'd like to make that case for both teams. Shall we?
Let's do it.
First place on the line, of course, in the NFC East. Something's got to give, Kelly Bidlin. Something's got to give. The case for Philly is probably the case you're going to hear more often than not today, no matter where you turn. Winners of 5 games in a row by an average of 16.4 points per game, allowing fewer than 300 total net yards in each of those 5 wins. Get into some of the numbers, 55.01% run play percentage. So they run the ball more than they pass, which ranks 2nd in the NFL in the running game, averaging 176 yards per game. And Philly also top 2 in rushing yards. That would make them top 2 in rushing yards, rushing touchdowns per game. They're 2nd as well. And oh, what do you know? The Commodores don't match up well with that. Commies among the worst units in the NFL against the run, 4.8 yards per rush, 142.1 yards per game permitted, both 28th in the 32-team National Football League. And over the last 3 weeks, they've allowed over 500 total rushing yards to three kind of, you know, meh rushing outfits, some would say, in the Bears and the Giants and the Steelers. Steelers, I would beg to differ on that. Otherwise put, by the way, since week five, the Steelers rank sixth in, Commodores, they rank sixth in pass defense at Aaron Schatz's EPA over there at FTN, but against the run, 24th. So none of that matches up well when you look at those numbers. Eagles now rank seventh in defensive DVOA after a rocky start to the year. Since their week five bye, they have the best defense in the league by EPA per play and success rate. Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean have been great as difference makers in that defense. And the Commodores have faced the fifth easiest schedule of opposing defenses this year as well. Steelers are the second above average pass defense by DVOA that they faced all season. Jaden Daniels has not been the same under pressure this year, ranking 31st out of 37 qualified quarterbacks at adjusted completion rate, 58%. Whereas Philly ranks 10th in pass rush win rate this year. So all of that points to the Philadelphia Eagles. But I must say there is a case for Washington here. And one of them starts with, I don't know if you care about such things, but for, you know, recent history in the NFL, Philly has been a really good football team. Obviously, they got to two Super Bowls, winning one of them. Washington has been, how can I put this, sucky at football until the arrival of Jaden Daniels. And yet, in that history, it's weird with division rivalries. Philly has not exactly blown them off the football field. Philly is 11-8 straight up against Washington over the last 5 years. They just, for whatever reason, Washington gives them fits even when Washington is in the worst of times. This year, Washington's defense was the case for Washington is that last week against Pittsburgh, they actually didn't look that bad. Against the run, they gave up just 3.3 yards per rush on the Steelers' 43 rushing attempts. That bodes well against the Eagles, as we said, who rely on the running game, 55% of its offensive yards coming from the ground. Commanders' defense, second in the league. There we go. I said it, Commanders. Commanders' defense, second in the league in pressure rate at 40%, fourth best league-wide in pass rush win rate, and Hurts' passer rating and completion percentage crater from 114.5 and 79% when the pocket is clean to 80.3 and 52% when he's pressured. Now, we always talk when we do these Thursday games, we always talk about what is sustainable, what might regress to the mean. Defensively inside the red zone, we always like to focus on that. Washington's defense has not been good in the red zone with a touchdown percentage of 70%. That means that teams score a touchdown 70% of the time when they are in the red zone against Washington's defense. That ranks 30th in the NFL, third to last. Eagles, on the other hand, defensively, third in the NFL defensively in the red zone, 42.3%, just 42.3% of opposing teams scoring touchdowns when they are in the red zone. That is 10th. By the way, in 10th offensively, the Eagles' offense is inside the red zone. So those things tend at some point to regress to the center. So if you're leaning Washington, that's not a horrible thing to think. Okay, well, that might shift just a little bit. And then the other thing is, you know, while we talk about Philly's on this 5-game winning streak, who have those 5 wins been against, Kelly? They have been against Cleveland, the Giants, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, and Dallas without Dak.
Yep.
Cincinnati being perhaps the best of those teams. And that was that weird game that was 17-17 more than halfway through the third quarter. And then the Eagles took over, turnover on downs, a pick, a fumble against the Bengals. So there's a case for both as you can sort of make in any game if you tried hard enough. But this one I think is legit where there's a case for both. And at 3.5, I don't have a play yet, but if I am playing it, no surprise maybe to some. But since I guess 3, it would be with Washington getting the hook.
Yeah, no play for me either. I'm leaning kind of same thing as last Thursday, kind of lean into a team total over on the Eagles is what I might go to. I don't know if I'm going to end up playing anything, though, Gil. This is, what an amazing game tonight. I don't know that I can remember back-to-back weeks of Thursday night football games that I've been this excited for.
Like, Cincinnati-Baltimore last week.
I mean, that was huge last week. Ended up
and lived up to the hype.
And lived up to the hype. And I think this game tonight is going to be incredible. I think Washington's kind of already proven that they are, at least for real, to some degree. I think you've always described it best. What are realistic expectations? I make it to the playoffs, and you might mess around and win a game. We're not sitting here saying they're way better than that, but I think they've proven they're that good. So then you look over at Philly, and it's, you know, you brought up the last five games. What do you take away from the last five games? Is this team for real? Is this back to what a lot of us thought they were preseason? Are you buying into this defensive improvement that we've seen so much? And I am, I think, for the most part, Gil. So I think this Philly team, I didn't bet it on the opener. I was looking at Philly early. It was 3 on the opener. It opened up. It's moved to 3.5. I ended up betting at 3. I'm not going to lay 3.5 here. But man, just a massive, massive game. I can't wait to watch. And this is, I mean, this is asking a lot on Daniels though, right? Rookie, short week, heading into the link at night. Like, this is going to be the toughest test he's had this season.
It will be. The kid is magic, though. Skins plus 73 in point differential in the first half of games this season. They averaged 16.2 points per game in the first half. That's second in the NFL, so the Eagles would do well to sort of buck that trend. As for the Cliff Kingsbury thing, because it came up earlier this week, Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, look at this. This is the first 7 games. These are his head coaching stints at Texas Tech and the Cardinals. And then he was a senior offensive assistant at USC last year and the Washington offensive coordinator this year. Look at that difference between the first 7 games and then what follows. And when you do this year to year, the aggregate number on this is, you ready for this? First 7 games, Kelly, 56-27-1. And then after that, 22-58.
This is bonkers. I'm so glad you took the time to build all this up, because we've talked about it. We've heard this, right? We've heard this whole Cliff Kingsbury thing. But you see those numbers?
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And I don't really, like, what do you take away from this? I don't, like, it's kind of undeniable that it's a thing to some degree.
You know, Drew Dinsick was on earlier this week and he said, you know, there are some whispers where maybe we've seen the best of them. So I figured maybe I should unlock the Kingsbury numbers and throw that into the mix if you buy into such things. But that is an amazing stat. 56-27-1, first 7 games dating all the way back, you know, a decade. 22-58 afterwards. We will talk with Zach Cohen on the other side. We got some backup quarterbacks to rank. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ooh, don't forget, the offer still stands for VSiN. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You'll get so much. Daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, power strength, and better ratings, plus our exclusive betting splits. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99 and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Sign up today, VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. While we were sitting there talking about the Eagles and the Skins tonight, boy, the NBA had some things last night. LeBron with another triple-double as the Lakers got it done against the Grizzlies. And bigger than that, Giannis had 59 in an overtime win for the Bucks.
Outscored the Pistons in overtime by himself. Had 22 of the Bucks' first 24 points in the game.
And then Victor Wembanyama messed around and tickled the strings to 50 balloons. He had 50 last night. And what did he end up with? 23 minutes? Was it 27 minutes? What was it? He was just unbelievable. He had 8 made three-pointers.
Is that how little he played?
Oh, yeah. It's like it was an amazing scoring output.
He had 8 threes.
8 threes, which I believe was the Spurs record in a game, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So just an unbelievable night in the NBA.
MVP odds movement. Check this morning.
Yeah.
I maybe made a bet in the market. I added Giannis 35-1. This is monster. It could end up as a disaster for the Bucks, and who knows what happens with Giannis here. But 35-1 on a player like that. Yeah, I'm in. Victor Wembanyama though.
Mm-hmm.
150-1 yesterday, 50-1 now at DraftKings.
That'll do it.
I saw him at 40-1 at Caesars.
So you couldn't resist the Giannis thing you had to get in?
Yeah, 35-1. That was way too long on that good of a player.
By the way, Wembanyama, 50 in 32. He ended up with 32 minutes, pardon me, on that.
Oh, no, 18 at DraftKings. Good.
Jokic, still the regular season MVP short shot at plus 225. Zach Cohen knows himself a little thing or two about the NBA. Zach Cohen joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Betting on X. Again, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. Zach, what's happening, man?
Not much. I was rage tweeting a little during that Pistons-Bucks game because they almost took away that Bucks game in regulation with a really bad call on Giannis to end the game, where Pistons went to the free throw line to win the game and Ron Holland missed both. But then Giannis ended up, you know, racking up numbers in overtime.
Holland missed both. Holland is a 92% free throw shooter and he missed both.
It's okay, fellas. It's back-to-back nights of the Pistons involved in games where ball don't lie. Ball don't. That was a clean block and then you bricked two free throws.
Yeah. That moment was too big for him. It really was.
I mean, the night before, I was going crazy over the Bama non-call on the jump ball. Ball don't lie. Pistons ended up winning.
Ball don't lie.
Spoke all the time out, didn't have.
Kelly Bidlin, author of that quote.
That's right. Nobody's ever said that.
Nobody's ever said that before. Zach, NBA tonight, what do you got?
There's only one game tonight, so it's easy to lock in on one. I have the Mavs -8.5 against the Jazz. Utah is a team that I usually like betting at home, but there's just a really big difference between these teams on both ends of the floor. The Mavs are a full 10 points per 100 possessions better on offense, 7 points per 100 possessions better on defense. Also, Dallas just kind of like wins these games big generally over the last 2 years. They're 6-0 against the spread when playing on the road against teams that average 108 or fewer. So if you can't score, you are going to have a hard time scoring against this Dallas team. And then obviously you have to find a way to stop them on the other end. The Jazz do not really have the defense to do it. So I felt pretty comfortable laying the points in that situation I just mentioned. The Mavs won by 14 points per game. So I do think they're going to win pretty easily tonight.
Yeah, only ball game in the NBA. Let's go to tennis real quick as we crescendo to pro and college football. ATP Finals Fever. Did you catch it yet? If you like,
yeah, I've been betting it every day. It is a difficult tournament to bet. You kind of have to find weird ways in, and I found the weirdest way in possible for Sinner versus Medvedev, where I took a little sprinkle on +152 for Sinner to finish with more aces than Medvedev, which is something he's done in 3 of the last 5 that matches they've played. He has a higher ace rate percentage over the course of the year. I think that the thinking in this one is that Medvedev needs the win really bad, and the only way he can really do it is if he hits bombs with this serve, because there's a huge talent mismatch between these two, which we've now seen over the last couple of meetings. But I just kind of think that Sinner can be trusted to hit his spots, especially, you know, he's now clinched his spot in the semifinals in group play. There's probably not going to be a lot of pressure on him. I just think it's going to be really easy and breezy for him to just go out there and, you know, make some serves, make Medvedev miss.
And you're being modest, too, because you had Fritz earlier this morning. I know it doesn't apply now, but you had Fritz -2.5 games against Alex Dimonor. Dimonor wins the first set 7-5. So you're behind the eight ball, so to speak. But then 6-4 in favor of Fritz in set number 2. And I believe it's match point for him to win 6-3 in the third. So you're going to get home, my friend. Well done. What could possibly go wrong?
Sometimes with who serves first, right?
Yeah, well done. Okay, to the National Football League tonight. Eagles, Commanders. What do you think about this one with the Eagles favored by 3.5?
I really wanted to find a 3 for the Eagles, but at 3.5, I ended up laying off. I do think the Eagles are going to win the game. I just kind of think that they're much better defensively. And I know that the Commanders are, you know, second in the league in EPA per play on offense, but, you know, it's kind of cooled off a little for Jaden Daniels over the last few weeks. Meanwhile, the Eagles are kind of putting it on teams lately. I think that offense is starting to look really good. So I think at home, I really like Philly to get the job done, but, you know, it'd probably be a different story when they do play in Washington in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, one of three marquee matchups, and we can't stress this enough, the NFL Week 11, one of three marquee matchups, tonight's Philly-Washington game, then obviously Baltimore-Pittsburgh, and then the biggest of them all, one would say based on records, the Chiefs and the Bills, and you have an opinion on that as well.
Yeah, I really like the Bills in that game. And it's funny because it's going to be a public game where the Chiefs are going to be the popular bet. But, you know, all the stats show that the Bills are a better team. They're better on both sides of the ball. They have a great record, too. I know they're not undefeated, but I just think this is a really good spot to be laying a really short number with a Bills team that I think can, you know, move the ball a lot easier than the Chiefs can. And I trust the Bills defensively to stop the Chiefs. I know how impressive it has been for Kansas City to come out on top of a lot of these weird close games. That's kind of what they do. But I do think this has the potential to be one where you won't see anything weird happening late. I could see it being, you know, relatively comfortable for Buffalo.
By the way, if the Chiefs win this game, we haven't really gone down this sort of narrative, but if the Chiefs win this game, what is that? Like, we will all come in, and I'm just talking about us, but all of us, you know, network-wide, mainstream media-wide, we're going to get the, oh my God, like the Chiefs are completely unbeatable then kind of narrative. And conversely, we'll also have, oh, the Bills still can't get over this hump. Like, I mean, that is really, like, if the Chiefs win this, what will your opinion be of them at that point? Let's say they win it in some way that's not some fluky kind of way. But at that point, going into or the home stretch of the season and then into the postseason, you just have to, you know, you have to caveat every comment we ever make about anyone with, and then there's the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, I mean, it's just that dominance will be in effect.
Yeah, it kind of already feels that way, honestly. Like, I feel so dumb every time I bet against the Chiefs. I mean, like, last year in the Super Bowl, I did end up taking Kansas City, like, reluctantly. I'm like, oh, I think they're going to lose, but I'm going to take them anyway. But I just feel like that anyway. So I don't know if it's going to change. I'll always kind of trust, like, the numbers and the spots, but it is just really difficult to bet against them.
Yeah, and we've said it all year when we do our power rankings. So it's like, you know, again, Aaron Schatz had Baltimore and San Francisco as two of his top 10 greatest DVOA teams of all time last year, and in the end, it comes down to 60-minute increments in January. And Patrick Mahomes puts on his cape. That doesn't mean people's power rankings are wrong. It just means that Patrick Mahomes exists. Chiefs minus 400 to end up with the AFC number one seed. That's before this Chiefs-Bills clash on Sunday. So you're about the Bills in that game. Let's go to college football. You have one play that you really like, and you hinted at what it was, and I love this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going with BYU against Kansas. I'm taking it on the money line. I got it at minus 135. I don't want to lay any points in that game if it is going to be as weird as people think it's going to be. Everyone in the world is on Kansas.
Everybody. At least
sharp money is on Kansas. It's a really interesting situation. We've had a lot of these with BYU this season. Earlier in the year, you know, there was the UCF game where they were playing a bad UCF team, kind of laid it on them too. So I just really don't think that the sharps have a great read on BYU. And I know that people are going to flood my comments when BYU ends up losing this game, so you're never to go against the Sharps. But I just don't think this Kansas team is that good. I know that what we've seen over the last, you know, 3 weeks has been a lot better. The offense has kind of picked up. But BYU is really good defensively, really good offensively. So I just think this is a team that is a little better on both sides of the ball. I think they're going to have a lot of success running the ball on the Jayhawks. And also, it's just very, very difficult to win in Provo. And the atmosphere is going to be insane. This is the best BYU's ever been. They're going to be, you know, right there in the college football playoff mix. I just really have a hard time seeing why this is such a short spread, even with the Jayhawks picking up, you know, the win over Iowa State.
Yeah, and listen, I you know, I agree with what you're saying. Everybody and their mother seems to have Kansas in this game, and the narrative is, oh, BYU has just pulled it out of their proverbial you-know-whats time and time again, especially this last week against Utah. By the way, it was a hold. We had the Zapruder footage that shows us it was a hold. Yep. And they made the most of it, but I get it. I get what the handicapping angle is on that. But that does not mean that it will manifest necessarily in this game, right? It doesn't mean that. Yeah. And so, you know, what could possibly go wrong when everybody is on one side, Zach? So I kind of like your play here.
Yeah. That's Utah's Super Bowl, like a BYU-Utah game where Utah's right. struggling. Like, that's the game that they threw everything into. You know, new offensive coordinator, the QB played unbelievable, Brandon Rose. They took the best punch from Utah, and they still won the game.
Zach Cohen, everybody. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Half of the Zach and Crack team here on the Numbers Game on Thursday, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow Zach at Betting on X, where he covers every sport you could possibly imagine. Does a great job. We'll come back. Not only backup quarterback rankings, but our larceny smooth bet of the week. That's next, right here on the Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. This year, skip the holiday hustle and bustle and save 50% off gourmet gifts site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get a $30 reward card when you shop early. Score an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. With five generations of experience, they consistently deliver the world's best steak experience, and the gifting experts at Omaha Steaks have gift packages starting at $89.99. From legendary steaks to mouth-watering desserts and more, save 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS and a $30 reward card when you shop early. That's 50% off at, and I'll spell it for you, omahasteaks.com. and an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. It's a Numbers Game live from Circa. Tim Murray standing by to talk some college football with us. Before we get to that, though, I really feel like my backup quarterback rankings got short shrift. So let us continue with number 7. Thank you very much. Those pesky commercials got in the way. Tyrod Taylor at 7. This, I don't think people think of Tyrod Taylor this high. But again, his superpower is he never turns the ball over. Only problem with you can't make him any higher than that because he hasn't really done much lately in the last few years, right? So 66 career touchdowns, 29 picks, 19 on the ground, only one fumble lost in his entire career. Justin Fields would be higher than 6th, Steelers fans, except for the fact, again, that he has 20 fumbles and he's only lost 2 of them. He has unbelievable fumble luck. Quarterbacks usually recover their own fumbles, or their offensive linemen do, so I get it. It's always going to be lower. But he's also taken 151 sacks in just 46 games. So that's, it can't be higher than that at this point. Jacoby Brissett is 5th, Kelly, 84.4 career passer rating, 53 touchdowns, 24 picks career. Joe Flacco, despite his sucking at football the last 2 weeks, he has won a Super Bowl. And if you had one game to win, maybe he's your guy here. He's 4th. 254 career touchdowns, 160 picks, over 45,000 yards passing. Jake Browning of the Bengals, have we forgotten about how good he was last year? He gets a recency bias number 3. Last year, in place of the injured Joe Burrow, 12 touchdowns, 7 picks, 3 touchdowns, just shy of 2,000 yards in 9 games, had a 98.4 passer rating. That's, again, at a 158.3. Jimmy G, 94 touches, 51 picks, a 97.6 passer rating. He's by far got the best long-term passer rating of all these guys. He's number 2, but Andy Dalton gets number 1, 253 touchdowns, 150 picks, just shy of 40,000 yards passing. He's your number 1. And those, ladies and gentlemen, are your top 15 backup quarterback rankings.
I think maybe the biggest takeaway I have, which is shocking even to me, is... is that Malik Willis, from the what we saw this year, deserves to be higher up.
He gets 10, yeah.
I can't imagine me ever saying that 6 months ago.
Well, you know who's not in there? Trey Lance is not in there. You know who I thought would be in there, but really the stats don't bear it out, is Secret Bajent Man from the Bears, Tyson Bajent. Tim Murray joins us, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He, of course, is a co-host of VEASAN Primetime. You can follow him on Twitter at TimMurray1. How you doing, Tim?
I'm good, fellas. Always appreciate jumping on.
All right, one Tim Murray, pardon me. Wes Reynolds is one at the end. Tim Murray's got the one at the beginning. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm good. Yeah. No complaints here, man. I'm ready to rock and roll. Fired up for week 12.
Fired up for week 12. You're talking college football, of course, not the, or you're talking NFL.
NFL will be week 11, Gil. Always minus 1 for the NFL.
That's right. With the guessing lines, I could never figure out which week it is. It's the whole thing. What is your favorite play in the NFL? Let's start there. What do you like best?
In the NFL? I'm going to be the moron and go against the Kansas City Chiefs this week. Okay. I'm going to take the Bills on the money line and get a hold of my nose here. I took the Broncos last week, not on the money line, thankfully. So that was a relatively easy winner. And, you know, look, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, the Chiefs are massive frauds and they're not going to win anything. No, I mean, when you're got Patrick Mahomes, it feels like they've been asking for a loss. And I know 12-1-1 all time as an underdog. They already beat the Niners as an underdog. But to me, on the road, kind of revenge spot, I will be on the Bills this week. That is definitely going to be one of the spots. And then, you know, one thing I'm looking at, Gil, tonight is Jaden Daniels from a rushing standpoint. I'm not a big prop guy, but his rushing numbers, Mike Sando kind of pointed it out in his column on Monday on The Athletic, which is if you look at the first 5 games versus the last 5 games for Jaden Daniels, they've really stopped a lot of design runs, a lot of scrambles. Market has adjusted to it, but I'm curious if we see Jaden kind of stay in the pocket yet again here tonight. Short week, still kind of dealing with that rib injury. So haven't gotten to the window yet, but I think the way I'm planning on attacking tonight is maybe taking Jaden Daniels under his rushing yards, because the last handful of weeks, he really hasn't utilized his legs certainly as much as he did in the beginning part of the season.
And that is a Washingtonian telling you that.
That's right.
And Tim Murray.
That's right. So Tim Murray, Zach Cohen, and myself all on the Bills. What could possibly go wrong?
I can't think of anything. You're Irish. Can we just start there before we get to your picks in college football, Tim? Yeah. When they lost to Northern Illinois, so many people, and I laughed, so many people were like, it's one loss Irish team. They're not getting in the 12-team playoff. People said this. People with tons of conviction said this. And here they are sitting there with that one loss. They are firmly into this. Do you feel, because you are an Irish fan, for those who don't know this about Tim, he's a fan of the Irish. Do you feel like they are a team that once in could make some serious noise?
Define serious noise, Gil.
Win more than once.
I think they can win once. I think that might be the ceiling, unless they get the Big 12 champion, which I don't think they will. Look, I think this team was built to make a deep run. The issue is that they've taken hits as the year has gone on, and they haven't felt the loss of Benjamin Morrison, who will be a first-round pick. He is their best and most talented player, their corner, but he's done for the year, has a hip injury. And, you know, I feel like Notre Dame, they lost their top two edge rushers as well during the season. So they've been built, and this is a credit to Marcus Freeman and the staff, they've been built to have depth and deal with these injuries. However, once you're going through the college football playoff, not having some of your top tier players is going to ding you for sure. So, look, I think this roster, you know, Riley Leonard got off to a slow start. You're seeing what this offense can potentially be. I don't really anticipate either of the next three opponents, Virginia, Army, USC, to beat Notre Dame. Obviously, that would be a significant upset if you do think Notre Dame will lose one of those games, but I don't think they can make a serious run. If they were fully healthy, Gil, I think the ceiling for this team personally was the semifinals. I never thought this was a roster capable of winning a national championship, but, you know, looking at the vulnerabilities of so many teams across the country, Georgia, Texas, etc., you know, I think Notre Dame, if they were fully healthy and peaking, maybe you make a run deep. But I think with the injuries that they've dealt with this year and the shortcomings of Riley Leonard through the air, I don't think they have elite wide receivers. I think ultimately the ceiling for them is probably New Year's Day, unless they are fortunate and get a team from like the Big 12 or maybe even the ACC champion.
All right. Your favorite picks of the week in college football are?
Let's go. You know, we've seen this market move a lot, so we're giving out a bad number. But I really like Kansas this week, and I know it's been a popular play amongst us in the gambling bubble. It's kind of, you know, the old quote, pros versus Joes, even though I'm certainly not a pro. I am as Joe as possible. But I just, this BYU thing is going to end. They are, you know, credit to Kalani Sitake and this program for getting to a 9-0 start to the season, but they've won two games now in the last month with less than 10 seconds to go. And I think this is a Kansas team that you could argue is one of the most unlucky teams in college football this year. I believe they're 0-5 in one score games. So it's 2.5 now. I think we might get back to 3 once the public really starts coming in. So, you know, keep an eye out for that 3. But I think Kansas wins this game outright late night on Saturday. And then I'll give you one more, Gil. The Tennessee-Georgia game, I'm not going to lay it with Georgia. Obviously, we're waiting for news regarding Nico Iamaleava, the quarterback of Tennessee. But I think Tennessee's really going to struggle to score here. So I did a Tennessee team total under. 17.5 is out there. You know, you might get a little bit more, but, you know, as we're talking about 18, 19, nothing really key there. So I think 17.5, anything under that is fine with me. I think this Tennessee team against Georgia, who's going to be very, very angry for getting embarrassed last weekend against Ole Miss. And I think this Tennessee offense where Sampson, their running back's a little bit dinged up. Obviously, we don't know yet about Nico, whether or not he's going to play. He's currently in concussion protocol. But even if Nico does play, I think Tennessee struggles to consistently score in this game, guys. So Tennessee team total under, and then Kansas 2.5. Hopefully we get the 3 back, but I still think Kansas is worth a money line look late night against BYU.
Tim, part of the Kansas Brigade. Everybody loves Kansas, except for Zach Cohen. We should point that out. Tim is also host of the College Football Tailgate, 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturdays. You having a great time with that, Timmy?
Always, man. Join me at 10 a.m., folks.
10 a.m. Saturdays, College Tailgate with the host, Tim Murray. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Crackman on the other side, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.